The other two need some more explanation, so.
Okay, we'll go open the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness. Good afternoon, everybody. Looking forward to a great first session, or first session as chair, but a great session for our veterans and emergency preparedness. We'll go through a number of things, kind of lay out the landscape, appreciate for those in attendance and also those at home. And of course, this committee, honored to serve with this great group of representatives to help move issues forward. Before we get started, I'd like to give everybody a chance to kind of introduce themselves, if they will, and tell us a little bit about yourself. If you want to throw in any prior service or link to veteran services, that'd be great, as well as any link to emergency preparedness. And if you don't mind, we'll start on the end. Representative Huffman, welcome back. Good to see you again. And
great to be here. John Huffman. I told some folks out in the hallway on the way in that they would have no idea how much it cost me to be on as many committees as I'm on this session. I said, oh, you pay dearly to get on this many committees. If you've looked at my committee list and then you look at everybody else's committee list, it's like, what did Huffman do? The speaker really has it in for him. Anyway, glad to be here, continuing work on veterans issues. I am a disabled veteran. I was military police, Army, something I have in common with our chair, and really do enjoy working on veterans issues, everything from access to education, to housing, and whatnot. And I think we've really been able to move the needle in this committee over the last few years, and I look forward to being able to do some more really good stuff. And I know we're going to be hearing some veterans housing work that's been worked on, and so I think it's going to be a great session.
Well, welcome back. Great to have you back on the committee. We'll continue some of the good work, too, in your education realms, because I know you serve on that committee as well. So thanks again, and thanks for agreeing to be on the committee. Representative Boone.
Yeah, does this mean I got to be on every committee with him now?
You and Shamia.
Yeah. I'm Deborah Boone. I represent Hess District 32, the beautiful upper left coast of our state, best district. And I'm not a veteran, but my Uncle Marvin was in World War II, and my father-in-law was in, Marvin was in the Pacific Theater, and Harold was in the in Europe, and was a flyer, and flew one of those P-38s that I got to sit in, and it just made me have claustrophobia. And I couldn't imagine driving the plane like this while your gunner, you know, hands are on. Anyway, it was quite the experience. So that leads into part of my district that's no longer part of my district, but is close, and that's in Tillamook, the Air Museum. So you should go down there and see some of those planes. You just would not believe it. And I really like this committee. I've been on veterans ever since I've been in the legislature as a member. And it's been, I also was in emergency preparedness when it was emergency prep joint with Senate, and then emergency prep with ocean policy. And I do a lot of emergency preparedness work, and that I really enjoy that too. And because I guess I want to know all I can before I get swept away in the big tsunami when the Cascadia hits us. So my other committee is environment and water, and they're not exactly closely linked, but I'm very happy to be on this committee, and I do have several bills that hopefully will pass out of this committee that will help our veterans and help our people be prepared for the next disaster.
That's great, and appreciate your work, and of course the Coastal Caucus perspective helps too, and we have a great diverse group that represents the veterans across Oregon. Representative Parrish, my vice chair.
Yeah, thank you. So Julie Parrish from House District 37, which is Westland, Tualatin, and some other little smaller communities wrapped up in there, and second term serving as a vice chair on this committee. And background for me for military history is a 17-year-ish Army wife, and my husband's actually in the building this year helping out. So his cute face is upstairs. He's doing good work for me and working on some of the veterans issues for me in my office. So he was the he used to be the battalion commander at the 218th. He also was Brigade S3 for the 41st, was on our last large deployment to Iraq. I'm also an Army sister, a Navy sister-in-law, about to be a Navy aunt. Mm-hmm. And in our family, we had a sergeant in the Oregon's 1st Army before Oregon was a state. So So we have a long tie to the Oregon National Guard that dates back 150 years and a strong supporter, and I've been done battalion and brigade level family support. I have multiple veterans bills this year. Some of them will sail through. Some of them might be a little rock the boat, but looking forward to bringing them all forward and, you know, doing work to prepare for in advance of a 2014 deployment and thinking about those families and how we start to support our military moving forward and how we, if we wind down in the Middle East, and if, because I don't believe we will, but if and when we do, that we have a long-term care plan for veterans in Oregon and that we are on the forefront of those issues.
Well, thank you, and thanks again for your willingness to serve and to be the vice chair and just the passion you share for the veterans and the connectivity to all the issues.
Thank you.
Looking forward to continue our work together. We'll go far left, if you don't mind. This is a man I have great respect for. In fact, you know, he was one of our co-chairs last session, helped move several things along and lead us in a great direction. So, Representative Witt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate that very much. I'm State Representative Brad Witt from House District 31. My district is Columbia County. The rural portion of Washington County north of Highway 26 and a segment of Multnomah County along Highway 30 past Sovies Island. I am very pleased to be back on the Veterans Committee, and of particular interest to myself, and I think a number of the veterans in our district. First and I think foremost is housing, and I think we're going to see, Mr. Chairman, some bills that deal with housing for veterans. So I'm very excited about that. And secondly, medical care. I think for many of us, we view the medical care provided through the VA is a potential model for healthcare delivery. The problem arises in that as a representative of a very rural district and one that is some distance from a VA hospital, while the care is excellent, it's how do we get someone who is in his or her 80s to the hospital to receive that care in the first place. And so that access issue is one that's very pressing in my district. I don't have the solution, but I do have some ideas, and a lot of the veterans in my district have some ideas. And I know that the community action team in my district has been very active in trying to overcome some of those challenges as well. So maybe with enough good minds, we can develop the model that we make access is easy and high performance, perhaps, as the medical care itself.
Great. Well, I'm thrilled you're part of the committee again, and appreciate the direction you led us last session. You served us well and continue to, and we had a lot of dialogue that's going to be ongoing discussion in this session too. So for those who have served on the committee in the past, you'll recognize some of that. Representative Huffman, did you want to?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. When Representative Witt started talking, I kind of did a flashback, and I was looking at the title of the committee, Veterans and Emergency Services. Didn't we do emergency services, and was it workforce or something?
Yes.
In 2009?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, and that was, Mr. Chairman, that was a follow-up in part to the major disaster that we had in the northwest corner of our state. Representative Boone knows only too well. The highest winds ever recorded in our state, and along with the high winds, of course, absolutely devastating floods. Much of my district was either underwater or just knocked out with trees and I remember trying to get down to the coast because I had so many constituents who were in a very troubled situation. It was virtually impossible with all the downed trees. And it was on the efforts of Representative Huffman and others to make sure that there were adequate relief supplies from his district and others, truly a coming together as Oregonians. I think the kind of action that makes us all proud. And I also want to recognize our National Guard and General Caldwell in particular, who I'll bet he wanted to strangle me after the first day, and about 20 calls all hours of the night, and to the point where I'm absolutely embarrassed and I can't pick that phone. If it was for me, I could not have picked the phone up. But it was for people who were in dire need. And I remember calling him up and saying, General Caldwell, we need three more generators in Vernonia. And the people are cold, they're wet, and there's no power. And I think General Caldwell's response, as I recall, was, there's not a generator this side of Texas that's not being utilized right now. And so I thought, well, we'll have to tough it out. Sunrise came the next morning, and there were three brand new generators in Vernonia. So
amazing work. And we'll be hearing a lot from Brigadier General Mike Caldwell as we continue through the session, as we have in sessions prior, with the great work he does.
Yes.
And others under his management. Okay, so and absent today, excused with the business of the House, is Representative Sal Esquivel from Medford. And I won't speak for Sal other than I'll speak about Sal briefly and just say that I have a tremendous amount of respect for Sal Esquivel. And not just that he's a veteran, but, he's a friend and cares a great deal, brings a lot of expertise to the committee. He is a Vietnam veteran who deals with the effects of Agent Orange. The way he approaches his duties in this committee are just outstanding. And he shared the gavel with Representative Witt, and I can't say enough about how those two worked to carry the veterans' issues forward. And I guess it was just really the example that I'd like to see us continue in the building, where we don't get bogged down in this committee on partisan issues. And it didn't matter to either one of those gentlemen who had the gavel. They respected the work to be done, and we got it done. And so it's unfortunate he's not here to tell you his story, because it's very compelling, but we'll allow him to share that when he comes on Thursday. So appreciate that, and again, excused on business of the House, but Sal Esquivel will be here Thursday, and wish him a safe travel as he conducts his business today. My other Vice Chair, Representative Fagan.
Well, good afternoon. Thank you for being here. My name is Shamia Fagan, and I'm the state rep for House District 51, which is mid-Multnomah and North Clackamas counties. And I'm not a veteran, but I have a long history in my family. My Grandma Fagan was a Rosie the Riveter out here on the Portland shipyards during World War II, and at one point she welded a ship perfectly with no leaks, and so they named it after her. So out there at some point serving our men and women, there was a ship called the USS Imogene Fagan, which is a pretty cool honor.
Wow.
And on the other side of my family, on my mom's side, my first name I got in some sense a connection to my family's military service. My grandpa on the other side was stationed in Cairo, Egypt in the military, and he met an Egyptian belly dancer named Shamia, who was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen. And she's not my grandma. But when they married, they named their daughter Shamia, and so I was named after my Aunt Shamia. So that is how I have a African first name with a thoroughly Irish last name. And finally, my dad was a veteran, my brother is a veteran, my dad, who also, which is a fun fact, was one of his very best friends was Representative John Huffman. I grew up with him and his family in the Dalles, and so my dad had a lot of great taste, particularly in his friends, and so it's fun to be able to serve on two committees with Representative Huffman. And finally, when I am not donning heels and earrings, I actually ride a Harley. And one of the honors of my life has been to ride with the Patriot Guard riders when they
do funeral services at Willamette National, which is where my dad's buried, or when they do, which is a lot more fun, when they do welcome homes for the soldiers. So we go to Portland International Airport and we create a flag line for the soldiers who are coming home from deployment, so they make sure that the first thing they see when they get off that plane is the eyes and our, you know, hearts of a thankful public. So I look forward to the first dry, warm day when perhaps Representative Matthews and I can, or Chair Matthews, excuse me, can ride in tandem on our Harleys down to Salem. That would be a whole lot of fun.
I thought you were going to ride him on the back of your bike.
Well, he's welcome to ride on the back.
I think we know what happens. When you have your own, you prefer to ride your own.
Yes, you do.
Thank you, Representative, and looking forward to working with you. And welcome to the legislature, welcome to the committee, and yes, Representative
Perry. I remiss in not introducing Bill Buck, who is sitting in the front row. Bill is a PCC intern who is going to be working in my office this session, and I've got him tasked to be working on some veterans issues and doing some information gathering for me on some of those things, so he's here as well. And also was remiss in mentioning that I am also a co-chair of the Military Child Education Coalition, and I chair that as effort in Oregon with my dear friend Martha Schrader, who is, of course, our Clackamas County commissioner right now, and so she and I both have that heart for the children's side of our military issues, and you'll see a couple issues, bills related to that as well.
Wonderful.
This session.
I appreciate that, and Bill, welcome to the building, and appreciate your work in her office, and look forward to seeing what you produce for our veterans. Yeah, welcome. And so, with the, yes,
and
Representative
Bill. And if I've been on the ball, I could introduce the Honorable Commissioner McKeel, who's in our audience today. And I'd like to add her to our list of usual suspects. So
yes,
you're welcome all the time.
I saw her walk in. She's a personal friend, not just my commissioner, but Multnomah County Commissioner Diane McKeel. As you know, that Multnomah County is, and her specifically, really reaching out to veterans and the veterans' issues and doing great work. And so welcome to the building today. And, you know, we almost have the opportunity to just go name by name in this committee, and that's one of the unfortunate things. Sometimes you don't fill the house, but it's very important, and thanks for being here today. Before we go on, I'll talk about the work the committee's going to do, but, you know, it doesn't come easy. And it doesn't just land on our shoulders. It comes from very strong support from our committee administration. And so seated with me today and to welcome the legislature and I think your first experience, Elizabeth Edwards. And Elizabeth, if you'd like to tell the committee a little bit about yourself, hate to put you on the spot, but I got to say, I am so impressed by what you produced and what you're doing so far. I'm really looking forward to working with you. It's going to be a tremendous honor. And if you'd like to say hi, we sure appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. I'm an Oregon native, born and raised up in the Portland area, and I have spent almost the past 10 years in Washington, D.C. I did my undergrad and law school there and worked on Capitol Hill for a few years. When I came back to Oregon, I took and passed the bar, practiced for about a year, and realized that I missed public service, so I'm very happy to be back here. My father is a Marine, and my grandfather served in the Navy, so it's an honor to be here. Thank you very much.
Well, welcome, and looking forward to doing great work. You've been producing great work already, and I got to tell you, I mean, it's overwhelming when you first, you know, get tapped to step into this position, and when you meet somebody that's there to help guide you through this process, it's great. And that's not just for Ms. Edwards, but that's for everybody in this building. We are blessed to have the folks we have serving in our committees, and also assisting Elizabeth will be Mike Riley, and Mike is our committee assistant. And Mike, welcome aboard, and happy to have you. He'll keep that blue light on, and as you know, when the blue light's on, that means we're being recorded. So we'll continue. Thanks again, Mike, for being here, and look forward to great work as a committee. And speaking of work, just, you know, briefly, my name is Greg Matthews, and I'm the, you know, happy and honored to be the chair of this committee in this session. It is my third session. I've been able to watch, you know, then Representative Cowan and Representative Witt, Representative Esquivel in this seat. And you know, to be honest, they're great mentors. It's been fun to watch. But this isn't a committee that should be difficult to manage. This is a committee that really does some really good work, and it's really important work. Now, I know that every representative would feel strong about the work they do in every committee, and I get that, and I respect that. But this committee really, I think, has a bit of a different drive for me. For me, sometimes it's disappointing when I see, as we say, the usual suspects, you know, the same three or four people testifying forward on bills that really matter greatly to veterans, but it says something about our veterans. It's difficult to get them to self-identify. It's difficult to get them to come forward to say, here's what I need. They ask for nothing, really, and it's tough. It's tough to get them into the room to say, here's what I deserve. They didn't do it for any type of reward or benefit. They did it for the service. And so when I think about the committee work that lies ahead, I think we have a lot of dialogue to carry over from the interim that's going to come into this committee. And a lot of that's going to be on the housing issue, as you know, the education component of trying to tie that military experience that is so meaningful to some credits that will matter so that they can get that college education, move forward without delaying their life further. Because we just have to remember, I mean, at my core, I want people to understand, our soldiers are citizen soldiers. And you know, we were just talking at lunch earlier, and the way that I put it to folks is, it was a little different for me. I joined the Army, and I was there for 3 solid years, and I was at Fort Bragg, and I deployed to Operation Urgent Fury, which is Grenada. And as I like to remind folks, particularly those on long deployments, Grenada does count. Mm-hmm. But I say that a little tongue-in-cheek, but with great respect to those that serve. But for me, it was a little different. But I look at what soldiers are doing today in Oregon, and the fact that they are citizen soldiers uprooting from their jobs, from their families, on deployments that are sometimes 12, 18 months at a time, coming home, sometimes home for 5 or 6, 7 months to reintegrate, and then right back into the theater of war, 3, 4, 5 times. I mean, that is just, to me, it's, you know, it's absurd, and yet I'm told necessary. And I just have such respect for the folks who are willing to do that. And I often tell people, you know, we make choices, but families make the sacrifice. And in most of these cases, it's the families that are sacrificing. Sometimes the soldiers that come back aren't the ones that left. And I mean that with respect to their positions and who they are as people, but it's different for them. And I think my drive as the chair is to make sure that we as a state don't forget that we have these folks out there. And if not for these folks that volunteer to serve in this capacity and to protect our very freedom that allow us to have this meeting and this forum and this open speech, if not for them, then what? Back to the draft? Back to forcing people into service? I just don't know. And how we treat them matters. And George Washington said that. And I won't quote him because it's not fresh in my mind. But he did say something about close to the fact that the way we treat our soldiers will depend greatly upon whether or not we can, you know, retain them in the future. And so for me, I want to understand that, you know, I'm happy that Speaker Kotek elected to have this committee. I think everybody that served on this committee in the past lobbied to make sure that we did not overlook the needs of having a specific veterans committee. And to include emergency preparedness, that simply makes sense. I'm great with that. But to have the committee in the state, not just today, but for years beyond today, because it's been my experience that I can just look at the bills alone and filed. In 2009, I came into a very great situation. There was the outreach of the initiative process, 36 different counties. You know, some folks did a lot of great work. General Caldwell being one of them, Tom Mann, you know, Paul Evans, a lot of great work. And we were handed a packet of about 39 pieces of legislation that was deemed necessary in that effort. Well, last session, I think the numbers were roughly 44 total bills, and this session we have 28 so far, which shows a little bit of a decline. And of those 28, not every one of those is that wow piece of legislation that's so meaningful to everybody. But it's all necessary, and I get that. I fear, though, that if we continue the trend, we'll end up with just a handful, and there will no longer be the need for this committee. So why the committee? Because even if today, if we were to exit from the theater of war, if everything was fine, every soldier returns home, and we are safely back at home, we still have the effects of what is behind us as we move forward. And those effects are the post-traumatic stress disorder, they are the traumatic brain injuries, they're the military sexual trauma, they're the mental illness to the homeless. And we have to deal with those issues. And we cannot wait for the federal government, but I gotta tell you, $4.2 billion drives a discussion of federal money on the table that we need access to. And there are some bills that help increase that access. I'm delighted the governor has appointed, and it is known publicly now, so Cameron Smith will be working with us with the Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs. And Tom Mann will still be in the room, and the same folks will keep coming forward. And again, I'm delighted. They do great work. But let's not lose fact, inside of the fact, that we will be deploying soldiers this year. There are soldiers planning to go to Afghanistan. They'll be deploying to Kosovo. They'll be deploying again in 2015. And I won't get into specifics about that in units, but as they start going, I think the next deployment is going to be sometime around the May period. And we're going to be sending more Oregon citizen soldiers into, you know, this conflict, this theater. And we need to be prepared. If we're prepared to send them, we should be prepared to accept them back and provide the services to them. And that includes some of the frustration our veterans are feeling today. They don't want access to health care. They want access to immediate care. We have folks waiting, you know, 1 month, month and a half for an appointment when they're questioning where they're at, you know, in terms of mental stability. We got to do better. And in order to get better, we got to be factual. We got to realize that what we're doing, we could do more. And we got to do that. But at the same time, please recognize, I believe that Oregon does well for its veterans. I believe we could do better. But I think we do well for our veterans. I'm proud of the work that's been done. There was work being done before I got here. There'll be work being done when I leave. But at the end of the day, I hope that the passion that this committee shares just starts spreading like wildfire. Because people need to understand that just because we're out of war or heading that way doesn't mean that those issues are over. They are only beginning. And we're only scratching surface. And I got to tell you, so I'm really energized at what we're doing for the housing and what we're going to be doing on the no wrong door issues. Derek Bradley, who I'm sad to say I've known him 5 years, he'll be leaving my office and heading to a new endeavor towards law degree. But he's done phenomenal work this interim for no wrong door. And we're going to see DMV and DHS and folks coming forward to get rid of the passive, there's a brochure over on that table, if you want it, grab it, if you're a veteran, to get to the very direct, are you a veteran? You know, so the veterans are proud to stand and say yes, you know, and then get to a point where citizens recognize that every now and then it's okay to thank a veteran for their service. And every now and then it's okay just to recognize that somebody has served and given of themselves so that we can do what we do. And so that's where I see us as heading. I really think that this committee is going to do great work. We have 28 bills now, and Elizabeth is doing phenomenal work. I'm sorry, Ms. Edwards. And doing phenomenal work to get us on track so that we can complete our work. I met with Senator Boquist today. We had a meeting with our committee administrators. And, you know, they're dealing right now with 18. They'll have more bills, I'm sure, by session, by the end anyway, or the deadline. But they're on board as well, so we'll be working in tandem so that what we send is received, what they send is received on this end. And if there's any bumps in the road along the way, as you know, we'll work those out. So my expectation would be that as a committee, we have conversations. But we also keep in mind that the last thing in the world the veterans need to understand is they're being tied up in a political discussion and moved as a political football. What I want to do in this committee is move the legislation that we believe needs to be moved. And then lobby on our behalf as a committee as to why we move that. And I hope that I can get the help from the committee, because I won't be able to follow every bill. But there are some bills, as you know, that will be really simple to pass. And then there'll be other bills that have a subsequent referral that means it's just going to go to that committee and we'll see what they do with it. Well, I want to personally see what they do with it. And when I say personally, committee approach, so that we can have some insight as to that. The beauty of the legislation is that we all have different committee assignments, and there's a good chance that one or two of us will sit on those committees. But I want to know that I don't expect to just pass things to feel good. I want to pass things that matter. And we have some feel good stuff, and that will matter to somebody. But ultimately, the work that we do is something we have to look back on with pride and also need. So looking forward to that. And again, as we move along, if anybody has any uncertainty, any discomfort, please give me early heads up. That would be my expectation, and we can have those discussions. But I think in the end, a lot of what we're going to be discussing has been discussed through the interim, and I feel strongly about the work we're going to do. So again, appreciate everybody being a part of it, and thank you all for agreeing to be on this committee, and thanks for your service and service moving forward, because we have issues to tackle, and this session will be one that veterans can get lost in the mix if we don't keep them in the forefront of the discussion.
I think this is the only committee in like the whole building that stayed intact.
Yeah, it's a strong committee, but in the end, it's you know, people are connected. Once you get connected to these issues, as you know, oftentimes they're not easily solvable. And when you're working with partnerships, and what we try to do is build consensus, and again, not to have the fight outside the walls so the veterans just see us as a government that can't function in their benefit. You know, it's difficult work at times, but it's meaningful, it matters, and proud to be a part of it. So looking forward to serving with everybody, and again, really appreciate, you know, Mike Riley as our assistant, and of course, our administrator, thank you so much, Elizabeth Edwards. And with that, We have just a couple of things to do, but before we do, we need to adopt our committee rules. And so at this time, I'd like to turn this over to our administrator. And Elizabeth, if you'd like to take over from here, you're certainly welcome to, and we're going to go through the rules.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Our committee rules are similar and are based off of the chamber rules, as you know. Each committee has identical rules for the purpose of consistency, and I will just highlight a few of the differences because they are substantially the same from the last long session. There are three main differences, the first being that any reference to dual leadership or co-governance has been removed. Second, I'd refer to Rule 16B, which is about minority reports and the instance where you have a work session within 24 hours of a first public hearing. In the past, discussion on the issue of the minority report had to occur during that meeting. Now it must occur during the discussion of the measure at issue. It's a small change, but important to make note of. Finally, Rule 17 is new. It deals with conflicts of interest. Members that have an actual or potential conflict must announce that conflict before voting in committee. It's similar to the chamber floor. And then submit a written statement to our assistant, Mike Riley, by 5 p.m. the following business day. Otherwise, substantially the same as last long session. Happy to answer any questions if you have any. I get to do my part.
Chair Matthews, I move to adopt the proposed committee rules.
Representative Parrish moves to adopt the proposed committee rules. Is there any discussion? Is there further discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Boone?
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Sorry, we were discussing rules.
Representative Huffman?
Aye.
Representative Witt?
Aye.
Vice Chair Fagan?
Aye.
Vice Chair Parrish?
Aye.
Chair Matthews?
Aye. The motion passes. The rules are adopted. Thank you again, Elizabeth, for your work on that. Appreciate the explanation. And also, I will now open a work session for the purpose of introduction of a committee measure, LC 1446. By the way, a vote in favor of merely introducing legislative concepts is not a vote of the merits of the concept itself. It is not indicative of a member's opinion or position, if any, on the content of the measure. Simply to move it forward in a work session.
Chair Matthews, I move that LC 1446 dated October 18th, 2012, be introduced as a committee bill.
Representative Fagan moves that LC 1446, dated October 18th, 2012, 2013, be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion? Any discussion? There is no objection. If no objection, the measure is introduced as a committee bill. I will close the work session on the introduction of committee measure LC 1446. Well, as you'll see, as we lay this out and move forward for the committee, we'll start off with some, I guess, what we'll just call early victories. We have kind of a light load on a couple bills we're moving on Thursday and Tuesday. You'll see on a lot of our agendas, you'll notice that it says that the likelihood of a possible or possible work session. The intent there is that if there's a bill that we can move as a committee and get it done quickly, then that's what we'll do. And we'll try to assign those out. Some of the bills that have subsequent referrals to other committees, we'd like to work on those early in the process as well, because those will require a great deal of work. So those are things to look at as you look at it moving forward. Ms. Edwards and I will be talking about laying this all out. We got a great picture of what the Senate's going to do and their schedule. And we look forward to, and Cheyenne, great work on that. And we look forward to figuring out exactly where we're going to be lined up for the session too. I will guarantee we'll get our work done. We'll get our work done early, as the Veterans Committee does, and look forward to it. I will tell you that, again, it's an honor to serve with you, and I believe we're going to get great work done. I've referred to a quote by George Washington, and I'd like to just lay the quote out because I think it's meaningful for the work going ahead. And it was George Washington who said, "The willingness with which our young people are likely to serve in any war, no matter how justified, shall be directly proportional to how they perceive the veterans of earlier wars treated and appreciated by their nation." And I believe that's true. I believe if we want to continue folks to sign up on the dotted line and to go serve this country, how we treat folks matters. And we can learn from mistakes from the past, and we can do our best not to make them moving forward. And that's what we intend to do as a committee. So thanks again. And I'll just ask, is there anything else for the good of the order? Yes, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You are so humble and non-self-promoting, but I have to tell the group, most of you already know, that he's not just a man of a little bit of, our chair is not just a man of a little bit of service to the public. He was a police officer, and he is a firefighter for Multnomah County, or Portland Fire, is it?
Gresham Fire.
And is known to complete his day's work here at the Capitol and rush home and pull an all-nighter or more than that when he gets home and then come back. And this guy is an unbelievable and incredible public servant. And my hat's off to you. If I had a hat, it would be off.
Wow. Well, thank you. And you mentioned Gresham and Representative Witt, as he talked about the floods and you know, how that all impacted his community. I remember the storm, and our mayor, Shane Bemis, had called and declared an emergency. So we hit the button really early, and we got early resources, and it was the Guard that came out and our soldiers that came out. And it was really interesting serving as a firefighter and accessing patients by way of a Humvee provided by the military. And they were providing us drivers. I specifically remember a young boy that needed a blood transfusion. There is no way we would have been able to get to that boy. We would have had to carry him, and again, expose him to the elements and carry him out to the street about a mile and a half down the road. And it was the Guard's ability to respond that gave us the ability to go serve and provide service to that child. So it was an amazing time, and they do amazing work. And folks think about the Guard, and nowadays think about war. I think about the Guard on the home front, too. And there's just so many aspects to our military and what they do. And they're just truly amazing. So my experience was 3 years in the Army. Served with some great folks. I know they're watching this on YouTube somewhere. But, Chris Carianis, Al Macklin, J.D. McIntyre, and the group, love you guys like brothers. But I can tell you that looking forward to getting work done, and this committee is going to do it. So anything else for the good of the order? I see nothing else for the good of the order. Look forward to Thursday, and then we'll hit the ground running and get some bills moving. So thank you so much, and we will close the House Committee on Veterans and Emergency Preparedness. Thank you all for your attendance.